Hi, I'm Cameron.
And I'm Emily.
I've never read Twilight before.
And I've read the books too many times to count, but now we're reading them together.
Welcome to Unbitten, a journey through the Twilight Saga.
Hello, hello, hello. We're back.
Hi.
We're back. Back at it again. We're here for Jacob's perspective. We're here for Breaking Dawn, the Jacob chapters.
We're here
celebrating the release of Baldur's Gate 3, my new personality.
Oh my god, Is that on PC?
Yes? Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I do not have the money to buy it right now, but I want it so badly.
It's
probably like a lot of money though.
It is, I think, 65 USD.
I'll kill myself. Hold on. Yeah, let me see how much this shit is. Let's go to Steam.
The live checking.
Yeah, here I go. Bop. Yeah, that sure is $60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm already about to spend money on the... Oh, this is so embarrassing. I've become such a fucking disgusting little gamer.
Hey,
I'm about to
buying?
Spend money on the new Overwatch season.
I knew you were going to say some shit like that. I was like, there's some new shooting season something or other thing happening right now.
Well, because the Overwatch season is like, when we're at the time of recording, there's like 3 days left in this season. And I didn't buy the season this last time because I didn't know how to play the game. And I was only just playing like... with my friends,
but
they've been slowly teaching me. I'm not good, I would say, but I'm getting decent enough at it that I, like, am now invested, and I'm gonna buy the battle pass and, like, get skins and shit on my next go-round.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
I understand. That's what you're doing right now with your money. What I'm doing right now with my money is kissing people in an RPG.
Listen, I've been seeing the TikToks. I've been seeing the simping.
Yeah.
I might just decide that I have negative dollars. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I might just pour one out.
Hey, guys, join our Patreon so you can help us fund Cam's Baldur's Gate 3 purchase.
That's ridiculous. Please don't do it for that reason.
Yeah.
But also,
as of recording, I've had it. It came out 5 days ago.
It did.
I bought it early access, but I didn't play it yet because I'm like, it's about to get updated. I just want to own the early access because then you got the deluxe version without spending any more money.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So I bought that's it like smart. 5 days ahead of release. Like, it really wasn't a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just played with the character creator. Duh.
Yeah.
Duh. But I just have to say, the scream I made when I actually launched it for the first time. Oh, and I also took the day off work to play on launch day.
You're so... Oh, I love you so much. I'm, like, obsessed with you.
The scream that I made when I was sitting in the office and I just shouted, there's penis options?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other type of fucking shit I'm seeing on TikTok.
Yes. Yes.
I'll send you one later.
Pick your vulva, pick your penis, your pronouns.
You can pick your penis, pronouns, and your vulva.
Yeah.
And I think you can pick your penis's pronouns, too. Like, there's really big creation in
this. Everyone is bisexual. You can fuck anyone you want. You can fuck a bear.
Massive slay. Okay. Maybe not a slay, but certainly something.
To be clear, it's a bear that is a druid. It is a person who is transformed into a bear.
Oh, but yeah. I mean, I assume so.
Yeah, but you can't fuck them while they're like that, so, you know.
Right, right, right.
This game is for the gamers. Capitalize the gay part.
Yeah, this game is for people who want to get down and dirty and probably played Dragon Age.
Yeah, I mean, my whole Dragon Age server is just consumed by this. That's all people are doing every
Understandable.
Day.
I mean, I heard fantasy, you can romance everyone, there's penis options. And I said, Dragon Age fans would love that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You are correct.
Send them that soundbite later, by the way.
I will. But, I don't know, if you like D&D in general and you have a computer that can run things, because I'll be honest, the computer requirements, it's a 2023 game, so...
It's a big one.
Yeah. It's a big one in terms of size. It is 125 gigabytes.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to offload some shit if I get it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Big room on that SSD, bestie.
Yeah, I've been meaning to offload shit anyway, so it'll happen. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I've been doing with my life, and the next time we record, I will say the same thing. Probably about who I fucked.
Yay! I can't wait for updates on who you fuck in-game. And that is the purpose of this podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, nothing really has been going... I mean, I guess things have been going on in my life. I just went to book club. I've been reading books. I read, like, 4 books in 5 days or something like that recently.
Yeah, I mean, you already came back to me with a new book series to recommend. You're like, I'm on book 2 already. And I'm like, girl, slow down. The one that you last recommended to me is still on hold at the library.
Okay, well, actually, the last one that's still on hold, Neon Gods, that was what my book club was about. So spicy, too.
Oh, yeah. Fun. I hope it was a bunch of us club.
Put it in because we had this conspiracy to try to get it to be the next, like, book club book. So, like, 4 of us... put it into the little randomized thing, and then, of course, it got pulled because we upped the odds. But people loved it, so
nice.
Win for me.
Good taste haver, as always.
As always. I have great taste.
I trust you implicitly. Like,
only in books. I wouldn't say, like, I have great taste elsewhere.
Yeah, no, not in men.
Yeah, not in men. I wasn't going to say it out loud, and then you said it out loud.
Oh, what am I here for?
You said the quiet part out loud.
If I'm not here to say the quiet part out loud, why do we have a podcast?
You make such a good point. Anyway, speaking of our podcast, seamless transition.
Uh-huh.
We're reading chapters 8 and 9 of Breaking Dawn.
Yes. Today. Yeah, we are. Because we gotta get to the good shit. That's why.
And we're getting to some good shit. But, like, I'm really glad we did. I mean... these weren't exactly, I mean, they weren't super short chapters, but especially the first chapter, it was kind of just, like, internal dialogue and catching up on shit we kind of assumed about Jacob.
Yep.
So anyway, we're in Jacob's perspective.
What a perspective it is.
what a narrator, man.
I actually love his narration. It's so funny. There's, like...
yeah, there's... it fluctuates between funny and cringe to me in a way that is giving me, like, whiplash. But
it is Jacob, so...
That makes, like, I feel like this is how the world was meant to work.
Yeah. I just, you know, as much as he says, like, terrible things and cringe things, at least there's, like, the inner monologue has so much personality. Like, it's just, like, it flows to me. I don't know. It's funny to read.
It really does. Yeah.
I will say that at the beginning of this, we get a funky Shakespeare quote because it's a new book, quote unquote, book 2. Yeah. And yet, to say the truth, reason and love keep little company together nowadays. William Shakespeare, A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Act 3, Scene 1.
Fuck yeah.
Classic.
Classic. So, you know, falling in love and things are little reason, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it seems like no one has reason in this book series.
No, exactly.
So that makes sense to me.
Also, I love the preface. Life sucks and then you die. Yeah, I should be so lucky. That's it. No notes.
Yeah, that's big Jacob. Big Jacob moment.
It really
is. Yeah, so we get to chapter 8, which is titled Waiting for the Damn Fight to Start Already. Which, great. Again, like, funny and cringe. But yeah. I'm glad that titles finally have personality.
It feels like he's writing in his diary.
Totally.
Yeah, I like that about him.
This is actually just, this is just all, like, straight from, the wolf's hive mind. This entire, all of Jacob's perspective is just that.
I mean, for what we do get of the wolf's hive mind, it is fun. I will say, that is great to actually get a peek into.
It is fun. But we are ahead of ourselves.
We are, yeah. It starts with Paul eating Paul Doritos.
Paul has implant.
You want to start that one over?
He's sure going to implant something at some point. All right.
Yeah, that's what Edward did to Bella.
No, for real. Okay, Paul has imprinted on Jacob's sister, who I forgot existed.
Yeah, me too. I remembered Rebecca. But
two,
I was like,
sisters?
I was like, who's Rachel?
I forgot that he had any siblings.
Yeah, I think because he said Rebecca because, like, there was something about Bella being more close to the same age as Rebecca or something. I don't really know. But who's Rachel? Where did she come from? I think she just invented her.
Yeah, I think she was like, I guess you can have another sibling for the sake of Paul having someone to imprint on.
What a bad choice. Jacob's trying to pick a fight, and he's like, yeah, I bet you'll just go running to my sister. And Paul's first response is, I'm not going to tattle to a girl. He says about his future wife, love of his life, his imprint partner forever.
Jesus.
It's so dismissive and gross. I don't know.
Yeah. They give the background, like, you know, Paul sees her, imprints on her, and I guess they're happily ever after. And I'm just still, like, I think I've talked about this before, but I'm just still so grossed out that, like, the woman never has agency in this. And, like, I mean, this is a guess, but, like, Leah's not gonna get a fucking imprint. I don't think. I would be shocked if she did, because Stephenie Meyer does not want to give a woman the power.
Right, and what men do we know currently?
Correct. Other than her brothers in the pack and the vampires who are already in love with people.
She's going to imprint on Charlie. I don't know. Charlie's spending a lot of time at the Clearwaters.
I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry real tears. That was horrible, Emily. Maybe she will.
I mean, daddy.
I mean, daddy, though. All right.
So it's been That's 4 weeks since Bella got married, and Jacob's just waiting for the news of Bella's inevitable death. He's thinking about all the terrible ways that it might happen, like, you know, car accident, choked to death. Maybe he, what was it? Maybe he'd smashed her like a bag of chips in his drive to get some. That's evocative.
That's so gross.
Yeah. And he's just spending his time fantasizing about how he would attack, you know, the Cullens. Maybe he'd go for one to provoke Edward to come kill Jacob in retribution, and then they could finally have their one-on-one match. It's just, you know, classic man testosterone.
Man tough.
Yeah.
Man fight.
Yeah, like, comparing dick sizes. I don't know. Bullshit.
Yeah.
So he's thinking about
Jacob,
this.
Your dick might be bigger, but it sure won't be as hard.
And it sure won't. Or as cold. And think about
that. Or as ice cold. Would you... Okay. Our podcast is marked explicit. Would you rather have ice cold penis or, like, very hot penis? Because Jacob, very hot body.
True.
I feel weird talking... Okay. Sam. Because Jacob's a minor.
Okay, fair enough. I do, like, picture Taylor Lautner when you say this, though. So I'm like, he's
okay,
a man.
You know what? Taylor Lautner, hot adult man. What my idea is the cold versus the hot.
Sure, yeah.
If you had to have
ideally, one of them. You could do some icy hot action, but
okay, but you would need two of them, and I don't think they would get along.
No, exactly. That's the but. They would never be in the same room, so it's not going to work out.
Right.
I have to say cold.
That's the only issue with this.
Yes.
Not, you know, that werewolves and vampires
no,
aren't
no,
real.
No. They're real. Moving on. Definitely cold. I feel like...
I agree.
Hot gets uncomfortable. Like, ouchie,
I feel
burn.
Like you're already getting warm.
Yeah.
When you're doing some fucking.
Yeah, I don't think that you would notice it as much. It doesn't add anything.
And I think that I would be more down for ice play than I would be for, like...
Wax play?
Hot stone play. Yours was a thing that's actually real. Mine, I just said.
Yours is a thing that you've just said and not a real thing. But
that's usually most of the things I say.
Yeah, even if he's 108 degrees, that's not significantly, like, hotter that you'd be like, oh, shit, this is doing something. It's just like, yeah, things are hot.
Yeah, it's expected. Like, this is pretty warm, weird.
Yeah, it's still too close to body temperature. Cold is very far from body temperature.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I would want, like, ice cold all the time, though.
Well, no.
Maybe
just
we
for
could
some fun.
Yeah, maybe we could put him in a little, we could put a little space heater on his dick for.
Can you put him in a hot tub for a bit?
A sauna? Warm him up? In the oven?
Put that dick in the oven, you know what I'm saying?
You can put it in a toaster oven, it's a smaller one, it's fine. You
don't put the whole guy in. Can you put it in an air fryer, please?
I'd like my penis air fried. Excuse me. Excuse me, sir. Can I please have one air fried penis?
Man, we sure do say things on the podcast that we talk. We do. Mm-hmm.
It's what All right, well, thank you for going down that tangent with me because I thought it and then I couldn't stop thinking it.
Yeah, no. So. You had to follow the path.
And I really did.
Thank you for leading me.
You're welcome. I think we're both going to hell. Hand.
Yeah. We held hands and we skipped all the way there.
Right, all the way into Satan's fires.
Yay! I mean, I hear Lil Nas X is going to be there, so it's going to be kind
of true. We'll get like a nice concert. I bet it'll be free, too. If we hurry, we can get good seats.
Yeah, we should really, really get on that. Speaking of hell, Quill's going to hell based on this scene.
Oh, my.
He's babysitting his future bride-to-be.
It's so gross.
We had heard
about this in concept, like, that it had happened.
Yeah.
But we hadn't seen them interact. Mm-hmm. And now I'm being forced to look at it with my eyes.
Yeah. I don't care if he doesn't love her, like, a woman right now, and that it's just
because
like,
he will.
It's how can you ever find someone romantically and sexually attractive that has changed your diapers? This poor girl Claire is gonna grow up and be like, wow, this guy used to change my diapers, and like when I peed my pants he was there for me, I love him so much. What? This is grooming.
No, I was gonna say, like, this is literally like extreme grooming.
It just is. Because there's going to come a time when because they don't age, they can just stop that.
Yep.
Where Quill will be 17 and she will be like 12, 13, just coming into like hormonal puberty feelings and think he's the hottest man around. Actively want to get with him because of how he's treated her whole life. And then
and
what?
And because of some fucking werewolf magic of they're supposed to be together.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, it's like you. Stephenie Meyer clearly did not think it through.
No.
Where she was like, what about this transitional period where he's an adult and she's 13?
Yeah, because that's going to happen. She's going to think he's hot, because he will be. She's going to think, you know, she's meant to be with him forever, because at that point she'll understand imprinting. And she'll be the one who's going, why not now? I'm old enough. I'm mature enough. That will be the argument where he's trying to hold it off because he'll be responsible about it, presumably. And she'll be, you know, trying to push him like, no, trust me, I'm so mature. No, we're meant to be together. And it's just so disturbing.
It's really fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Everything about this was horrible. I forgot for a second that, like, this was the kid that he had imprinted on, and I was like, aw, they're having so much fun.
Like,
and then
look at a good babysitter, he's so good with kids.
And then everything was ruined very quickly when my mind decided to remind me of things that I hate.
Yeah, it's not even like a question of like, will this happen in the future? It's like, no, if you're 13 years old and a 17-year-old hot man is paying attention to you, you're gonna try to do whatever it takes. Like, especially if you're like, that's my chosen one. He imprinted on me. He's mine. Oh, God. That transitionary phase
is so
bad.
Yeah. It makes it worse also that right now, Claire is 3 and she gets dialogue where she's like, oh, Quill, why are you here, Mike?
Oh,
and I'm just
I know.
I'm going to kill someone. I'm going to punt this baby, maybe.
I'm throwing up in my mouth. It made me so, like,
it's so gross, because I don't care that it's innocent, quote unquote, right now. We all know what the attention is, because there's like no separation between the fact that there's no separation between the ideas of Quill and Claire and then like what's his face, Jared, and what's her name,
Kim?
Kiara? Kim?
Kim. Yeah.
There's no separation between them conceptually other than age, where, yeah. like, fine, Quill will be the babysitter because she's three for now, but give it a few years and they're going to be in Bone Town like fucking yep. Jared and Kim.
I know.
Which is brought up later in the chapter.
Yeah, it's like...
that they're just fucking all the time.
Because now he's in this state of like, oh, I love her no matter what. I'm just so happy to make her happy. But also in the back of your mind, I can't wait to wait these years for them to pass by so right. I can take you to Pound Town. Like, that is such a horrible thought to right. have.
It's so creepy.
It doesn't matter Why how many times she tries to explain it away as, like, he'll be whoever she needs to be at the point in life that she's in. The point is, he's still always going to be waiting for that romantic connection to finally happen.
Yep.
About a and child the whole time.
And it's not like he's just drawn to her, and it's still creepy if it, like, happens quote-unquote naturally, but he's seen all the other people imprint. So he knows.
Yeah.
He's like, I have to wait, but give it 10 or so years, and I can get some fuck from this child. Like, it's exactly, so disgusting.
Exactly.
And it's so disgusting.
Even Jacob says, like, have you thought about dating? Cause it's sort of a long time to wait for some action. And he's like, I just don't really see their faces anymore. Like, I don't care about other girls. Ugh. I want this three-year-old. Like, I hate even saying that.
Right, because really he compares it. He compares it.
Yeah.
He actually, like, that's the implication, is that he's saying, I don't see their faces anymore because all I can see is the face of this toddler.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's so nasty. It's really, I think this is, there are a lot of things that Stephanie did in this book series that are bad, and this might take the cake.
This scene makes it so much worse, is putting yep. it on the paper and seeing how that dynamic plays out.
Yep.
It's, I really hate it.
It's yeah. it's like, great, I'm so glad you've opened up your Twilight audience to pedophiles.
Yeah.
Good job, Stephanie, I guess. Like, fuck
Wonderful
you.
Wonderful job. Let's talk about how he's going to wait 14 years and then be like, finally, we made it.
Finally, she's the consensual age. Fuck!
Yeah, and then, I don't know, he was at her birthday party, it was princess themed, and he put on makeup and a princess crown, and Jacob called him a patsy.
Yeah, Jacob said, haha, gay. And yeah. we were like, yeah, it's really the 2000s, huh?
It really is, it really is, it really is. It's like, that's so gay. Well.
Yeah. And so, my note there was, ew, internalized misogyny.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's funny, because Quill's also like, I look pretty hot.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you can take that as him, like making fun of it and, like, sort of in, like, a weird way. But you can also take it as him being like, I actually didn't mind it. I looked good in makeup. And then Jacob's yeah. like, haha, gay.
Yeah.
And he's like,
So we are saved from this moment of watching Quill babysit his future wife and pick out rocks for her when Sam calls a wolf meeting with a howl. Thank God, we're out of there. We've also got some new kids, Colin and Brady. Cool.
Yep.
Thanks for adding some names. Yeah. That won't mean anything to me.
Have we had these guys before? I feel like I made a joke about Colin Farrell and Tom Brady before.
I think you did. I don't know why they're.
Because I was about to make the exact same joke.
I was too. It like happened in the back of my head, and then because it's described as the new kids were here, but I guess they're still being called the new kids because you know.
Yeah.
When sure. You're new forever.
So Colin Farrell and Tom Brady are here.
Yeah, they're here, and Jacob is racing Leah because he has nothing better to do except be a little, I don't know, again, that competitive nonsense. So Sam gives them the down low in their little brain-to-brain connection that
okay,
Bella
well, before this, there's just, the pack and, like, the hive mind is also just, like, creepily incestuous in some way. You know what I mean? Like, in the way that they're, like,
they're brothers, well, but they can also picture what, you know,
people, what Jared is doing with Kim, and then then they'll all hear his thoughts about what he was feeling about it once he turns into it. It's just like,
Yeah, I know. I don't like that. Because there's no privacy at that point. Like, there's a bonus to the pack mind, which I get, because you're supernatural beings. You can't actually speak when you're a wolf. sure, let's give them, you know, telepathy. But, like, does that, the second that you're like, woohoo, just had sex, and you're like, I'm a wolf now, man, still can't stop thinking about finger banging my girlfriend. That was awesome. And then everyone else is like, thanks. Ew. I have that image now. Awesome.
Yeah, and it's, like, played off as, like, a humorous sort of thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's sort of how it gets played off in the book, but it's just, like, I'm like, ew.
Yes. Yeah, I don't want to know about that. I don't want to be in someone's head thinking about that, because it's not just, like, a dialogue. It's, like, people, they picture things, and that gets projected to other people. Like, that's explicitly stated, that if they picture things, that can be projected into their minds. So, you know, that's fun.
Yeah, horrible. I hate it. Yeah. Anyway.
So Bella and Edward have arrived home, but she's sick and quarantined, and Charlie has called Billy to be, like, freaking out about this, how he can't even go see Bella because of some crazy South American illness called that D.
He's not expecting that. So true.
And now Jacob's like, let's go fight them, let's go fight them, let's go fight them.
Because he instantly is like, yep, she's been turned. This is what we're doing.
Yep, that's the path that they've chosen to fake her death. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. When do we attack?
And finally, someone has some fucking sense.
Yeah.
For the first time in 4 books.
Yeah.
5 books. We read Bree Tanner.
Oh, yeah, that's true. 4 books and a novella later. We have some sense.
We found it. This is one spark.
I love that Seth is like, they aren't our enemies. Baby boy. Baby,
he's
Seth.
Such baby. He's so cutie.
And he's like, do you want to fight Bella? Because if she's turned, she's going to fight with them. Are you, like,
exactly.
You know, is Jacob going to be okay if one of the pack kills her? Because he's going to know that forever. And, like, of course he's going to hold it against them. He can't even deny it. He's like, no, I wouldn't. But he would.
And he's also like, I mean, that's that multiple things where he's like,
yeah,
one of the pack could die.
Yeah.
He could be forced to kill Bella. Or they all know that he won't be able to do it, so then somebody else will. And then he will hate that person.
Yeah.
Or he will hate himself or for whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Essentially, it's just not a good fucking idea. And Sam's like, we're not doing it.
Yeah,
we're
actually
attacking the Cullens. And so, I'm like, thank fucking God.
Yeah, it's so nice to see Sam as the pack leader after what they did go through just last book, where the Cullens and the wolves fought together. And Sam's like, they have been our allies, for one thing. They helped make sure that Jacob didn't die, for another. And, like, they literally have proven to not be harmful. Like, all they've done is keep away dangerous vampires. And if Bella really is being changed or has been turned already, that means they're gonna leave. So why are we starting a fight now?
Yeah. It's, yeah. So, and, like, this made me think about, like, when Jacob was, like, for a while, he was like, I could have been the alpha. And I'm like, thank fucking God you weren't. You are way too temperamental. Sam has some fucking sense. You are still a stupid child.
Yeah, he really is a child. He's so angry. The thing is, like, in this chapter, you can feel it because it starts off with him just wanting to punch Paul and start a fight.
Yeah.
And he's so mad that Paul doesn't fight as much anymore. But he's just angry about his own circumstances that he's, like, I'll fight anyone who wants to. Like, he's rearing for a fight within his own pack. Oh, finally excuse to go attack Edward, the person I'm pissed at for real. And it's not, like, based in any sort of logic or actual protection. It's literally just him, like, I want to fucking fight someone. Let me punch someone. Let me punch real good.
Yeah. And so they all are like, all right, we're not going to do it. And then Jacob is like, fine.
I'm out. Fuck you.
And he goes and runs away and then turns human. Then he's like, fine. You want me to be the bad guy? Now I'm the bad guy. So he then goes and decides that he's just going to go fight them by himself.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm so good at hiding my thoughts now. I just thought about being a wolf. Wolfy, wolfy, wolfy. Now I'm actually going to go attack.
Yeah, he said, let me get in my furry mindset.
you on your free Saturdays when you go to furry conventions.
So true, so true, so true. That's what I do. That's what I do on my free Saturdays.
Between
I'm act-
your furry I'm actually, allegations... Wait, what? Are you going to a furry convention?
No. You finish your thigh, then I'll say my thought.
Between our constant allegations that you're a furry and now me talking about the bear fucking in Baldur's Gate, there's no hope for us anymore.
There's no hope for us. I was going to say that I'm playing a new D&D campaign.
Ooh.
And I am literally just like a rabbit.
No fucking way.
So it is furry town in this bitch.
You're just a rabbit?
Well, I'm not like an actual rabbit. Okay, so I'm playing, I'm actually, this is really cringe, but I'm actually having fun. I'm playing a Star Wars D&D campaign.
Okay.
Because my friend likes Star Wars. He was like, I will DM. So I am some fucking breed of, like, basically like rabbits.
Sure. Some sort of Star Wars rabbit.
Yeah, they're really carefree, and they don't give a shit about anything, and they just, like, hop around and have fun. So I was like, that sounds like a good thing for me.
Cool.
So my character's voice is very high-pitched and British.
That's so fun.
Yeah, her name is Juna.
Aww.
Yeah, and she is quite literally just a fucking bunny. So there's just that. Just a
fucking bunny.
It's funny because, like, a lot of, like, this... It's just, like, everyone is, like, almost everyone is, like, hot.
Yeah.
Like, the characters.
Yeah, and you're a bunny.
And then there's me, just, like, a bunny. and I'm, like, under 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
And then there's also, like, a Wookiee, like, a Chewbacca type.
Yeah.
Who is, like, 7 feet tall. Oh, and we just stand there.
You are, you know, strike through woman standing emoji, bunny standing emoji.
Right, I am bunny standing emoji for sure. It's a good time. We have
this
fun
is
here.
Really funny because I had offered to DM a one-shot for a few people that had never played before, and I was like, I am not comfortable running a campaign yet. I would like to run one in the future at some point, but let me just test how it feels to DM for the first time, and I'll teach some people how to play. And that'll be a very easy, low-stakes thing. Because I'm like, if nobody knows how to play, and I don't know how to DM, you know, nobody's going to get in trouble here.
Then we're all fine.
Yeah. And one of my players was like, can I just have a pet bunny? And I was like, for why? I don't know. I want to have a pet bunny. But it's like, you know, can it be magical? I was like, no, you can't have a magical pet bunny. Like, it can be a regular rabbit. And that
you can
was
have
like,
a rabbit.
Yeah. So it's just so funny. And I'm like, and also she played a gnome. So I'm like, you're just 3 feet tall and you have a pet bunny.
You have a bunny that's the size of you. Okay, got
yeah,
it.
Exactly. The player was Meg, by the way. So
I knew
Meg
it was
going to
be Meg.
Yeah.
Meg, I love you and your little gnome. You can't have a magic bunny, but you can have a normal bunny. And I'm excited for you. Mechanics-wise, that just would not be fun to have a magic bunny. It could break your character. But
yeah.
I like that you have a bunny.
Yeah.
Sparks joy.
So much joy. And it was just the second you said you are a bunny, I was like, oh no, here we go again.
I've actually been the gnome's pet the whole time.
You're
it's actually
been
undercover.
Here's the thing, you're actually undercover because you're in a Star Wars game. So like you have like flight and everything like that, and you've come to this like weird fantasy world where they have no technology, and you're like, let me just be an anthropologist for a bit and like, you know, find out what's going on here, and you're like, oh perfect, this gnome will protect me.
Yeah.
I get
oh,
to
perfect.
Walk around
these
in her
guys
backpack.
Have, these guys have bunnies in this world. I'll just be one of those.
I'll just be one of those.
Yeah, good times.
That is so funny. I love that, genuinely.
Yeah, she just walks around talking really high and fast.
Yeah,
so it's kind of just like me.
I was about to say that's very easy for you to embody that role.
Yeah, she's just going around like, so what are we doing today? And just like my really shitty British accent. Sorry to any Brits out there.
I love your shitty British accent, though.
Thank
it's
you.
So it's so fun.
I'm sure all the listeners don't, but that's okay.
They have
anyway.
To listen, so.
Yeah, that was chapter 8, and that was our little interlude, and now we're on chapter 9.
Yeah, it's like at the beginning of the episode where we start off talking about our lives. We just did a second one for the new chapter.
Yeah. We just had to do a quick little breaksies. Intermission, even.
Intermission.
I hope you got your water. I hope you peed.
Go piss, girl. I hope you're on the toilet right now.
I hope you're listening. If you're listening to this while pissing, don't tell me.
No, tell me. It's going to be the
okay, you
question
can tell
at the
Emily.
End.
Are you pissing right now? Yes, no.
Yes, no, uncertain. Okay. Chapter 9. Jacob comes back home and...
Well, what's the title of the chapter?
Oh, I'm sorry. The title of the chapter is fucking sure as hell didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, the fucking isn't in there. But no,
that was me. I was ad-libbing.
Yeah, you were improv-ing. You were yes-anding.
Yeah, exactly.
Slay. So we sure as hell didn't see that one coming, and we'll figure out what that is pretty quickly.
We all know. He didn't see...
Yeah.
That dick coming. Oh, he really God, didn't. He wasn't there.
He did, yeah. So, Jacob gets home, and, Billy's there.
Billy's watching Jacob him.
It's horrible.
Yeah. It's actually, like, I don't know. It's, like, horrible, but it's also, like, funny, because it's obviously rapport he has with his own dad.
He's...
Because he's, like... going to leave again, and Billy's saying, like, oh, well, who will help me out, like, you know, with my chair and everything, and Jacob's like, you'll be fine on your own or whatever, and he's like, I had to go all the way from Sue's house to get here. He's like, you coasted the whole way. It's downhill, yeah. Man.
And he's like, yeah, I think I went, like, 30 miles an hour. It was awesome.
And he's like, yeah, you're gonna break the chair. Then what? Well, you'll carry me, Jacob. No, I won't. Like, you're gonna be crawling on your elbows. Like, what the fuck?
It's ridiculous.
It just it sparks the same energy as in the Twilight movie, where in the background Charlie and Billy are just like play fighting each other in the street, yeah, when they first drive up to meet Bella.
I only recently saw that clip from the Twilight parody.
Oh, some vampires suck. Yeah,
yeah. Where are they?
Like beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, and like Billy like takes him down.
Yeah,
and it's so funny because he's in the wheelchair. Yes, yes. But then at some point the actor just stands up and he starts beating up Charlie with the wheelchair.
Oh my god, that movie is genuinely so stupid but so funny.
You have to
really love Twilight in a specific way, because those jokes really do land.
It's clearly, like, made by people who love and hate,
yeah,
Twilight, because, like, the consciousness to, like, pick up on that scene in the background happening, yeah, and be like, what if we made this the entire bit, yeah, of it?
Forget the foreground Bella and Jacob talking. It's all about still this having a 2013 SmackDown.
Literally, The Undertaker. I don't know what The Undertaker does, but I'm assuming it's that.
It's The Undertaker with the steel wheelchair.
Yeah, literally. Oh, he's got out into the crowd. Oh, he's grabbed a man's wheelchair. Oh, and now he's hitting Charlie over the head with the wheelchair.
Oh, he's my never god, before stop. Been seen. He's dead already. He's dead.
You're beating a dead Charlie horse. You're like, I gave up on that one halfway through.
Yeah. I liked it, though. We should be commentators.
We should. Imagine. That would be horrible.
I want us to commentate on something that we don't know.
Oh my god, you know what would be really fun?
Yeah.
This is like kind of related to this, is that recently there were the pillow fight championships.
No way.
On ESPN. I'm not even kidding. Like, it's for real, and they are so intense about it. I will send you a video later, but holy shit.
Is there like regulation pillows? Like, I need to.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. And they like go crazy with it. Like, that's these are, and they're like, I think they're like wrestlers or boxers or something.
Oh my god.
Who just also do this.
Oh.
And they can
my
only
god.
Hit with the pillow, and each of them has one pillow.
Please.
It's so wild. I'll send it to you later.
Okay, thank you so much.
But my friend who's a bartender was working in the morning, and it was on in the morning, and he had just started work, and he had taken like a fat bong rib right before coming to work. So he was really high. And he just saw this on the TV. With customers around, was just literally in tears laughing. because he was so high and he was just like watching these guys pillow fight on national television.
Oh my god.
It was amazing. I'll send it to you. Yes. I think Jake would be good at that.
Yeah, probably. I would like to see it. So anyway, after this back and forth, Jacob basically is leaving and Billy's like, I know what you're trying to do. Like, don't go there.
And well, yeah, Jacob is like,
I'm gonna go attack.
Well, he's sort of claiming that he's just, like, not gonna come back at all. Because he says, like, Rachel can have my room, so she doesn't have to be on the air mattress anymore.
Yeah, and he says, like, so he's maybe like, even my if, like, bit will be weddings.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just not gonna, he's like, I'm planning on not coming back after this. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. Yeah. And then Billy tries to be a good dad, and also is like, you should leave Bella and the Cullens alone.
I know. Another change of heart. He says leave Brittany alone. Yeah. that is surprising from Billy, because again, he's been very anti-vampire this whole time. And he's like, dude, just give it up. Like, don't get yourself killed over this. Because this time it is Jacob's life in danger if he actually goes to fuck around and find out.
Yeah, and I mean, I think also since having this alliance and, like, since getting more of Bella's,
and
like,
Carlisle literally saving Jacob's life.
Yeah, like, they're, like, kind of like, maybe we don't need to pick this fight.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, Sam says this earlier, that Bella's made her own informed decision. Yeah. That she is a person with agency, so technically, like, she's not a victim in the way that would break the treaty.
Yeah.
Like, she is making this choice herself, which I appreciate getting that, because, like, they're all talking about her like she doesn't even have a choice.
And I know.
It's clear that she's making this choice. It's very clear that Edward did not want her to make this choice.
Yeah.
So,
at what point you say, like, no one has been victimized here? Like, because it's, yeah, that's true.
Correct. Yeah.
So, Jacob does leave on his little bicycle.
Okay. But he's such an asshole, because he doesn't just leave. Jacob stares at him and then crosses the room, disconnects the phone cable.
Yeah, yeah.
And takes the cord with him so that Billy can't call Sam and get the wolves to stop
him. He has to get all the way to the store so that he can get a phone and then find someone who can contact Sam, and then Sam can change and run after him, and then all this time... Yeah. Jacob will already be on his little bikey bike. What a little shithead.
What a little shit. Yeah. What a bad son.
Yeah. It's kind of, after all this talk about what happens if your wheelchair breaks, and he's like, fuck you, you're gonna have to wheel all the way over to the store so you can get a phone.
Like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, anyway, Jacob gets on his bike and then he starts smelling rotten tomatoes and he's like, ah, it's them. I'm close.
Here I am.
We did not heard it them described as rotten tomatoes before, so that was fun.
that was a new thing that we learned today.
Yeah.
They smell like rotten tomatoes to him.
Bella's really into the tomatoes, you see. She's Italian.
That's true. Yeah.
He does
but she
not...
ate already, so
yeah,
Rosie's
exactly.
gonna break everything.
Yeah, classic. Classic, he does classic, not have classic. A plan as he rolls up, and he starts thinking about it, and then he's like, you know what? Maybe if I just challenge Edward to a duel, the rest will stand out of my way, because Edward will be, like, too proud to, like, not do it, or, like, he says that he'll, like, attack one of the others first, and Edward will have no choice. Like, he's going through his options, and then he's like, you know, gets there, and Carlisle answers the door, and he's like, oh, fuck, why did I have to be the nice one?
Yeah, why had to be the fucking doctor?
He's like, it's so funny, because he's very clearly able to humanize them, because as soon as he sees Carlisle, he's like, oh, but he's a doctor, and he helped me, like, I don't really want to attack him. I'll try not to when it comes to it. And then, like, later on, he sees Esme and Alice, and he's like, oh, I'd really rather not attack girls if I can help it. I'll just leave those aside. Like, it's like, come on, man. At this point, you're just making excuses. They're people.
Yeah. Yeah, he's clearly sees them as more than that, but he's just refusing to, like, let himself have that crack in his facade. Yeah.
Also, so, Carlisle answers the door and says, can we do this later?
He's like, listen, I get what you want.
Can we reschedule this death fight, please?
Can we? Yeah.
Sort of in the middle of something.
Reschedule this duel to the death?
I am in the middle of something. Yeah, so, but Bella is like, please, can we let him in? I don't want to keep this secret from him.
Yeah, and she's croaking and hoarse, and Jacob's like, damn, I guess that's just what newborns sound like. I remember them snarling a lot, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, he's like, maybe they're just hoarse all the time because they're snarling so much.
Yeah, they're just...
So rawr, rawr. They let Jacob in. Wow, that was a great impression.
Thank you.
It was like I was really there.
Yeah, it was actually an extra.
In Eclipse. I would have died. I would have actually cried laughing seeing you posted up like a little fucking cat.
Oh, I Jesus. Wish.
That would be... What a great thing to just say you did. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, yeah, I was just an extra in a Twilight movie. I stuck my butt out and hissed like a cat.
That's what dreams are really made of.
Dreams are absolutely made of sticking your butt out and hissing like a cat. And that's why I'll never beat the furry allegations. Okay. All right. They let Jacob in. He's like, oh, she's still human. That's weird.
Weird.
Oh, she looks fucked up.
Wow, I guess she is sick. Huh. Weird.
Oh, yep.
The blonde ones. Rosalie. She's protecting her. Huh.
Yeah, she's...
Weird.
I thought they didn't like each other.
I do like that his memory of that as knowing Bella so well and, like, oh, the way her mouth shaped Rosalie's name when she talked about her. I think that's a nice little detail.
Mm-hmm.
He does know Bella pretty well, as we see in this chapter.
Yeah, and but I also think that not only that, but it is a semi-outdated knowing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he knows her, and he knows that she was afraid of her and that they didn't really like each other, and he knows of this, but this was, like, you know, sort of back in, like early Eclipse. Yeah. Exactly. And now she's I mean, even before, like, this whole pregnancy situation has sort of, like, bound them together and, like, united them in a cause. Like, they were more friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rosalie shared her traumatic backstory, and Bella, you know, came to an understanding with her.
Yeah.
Rosalie even helped her get ready for her wedding.
I know. Sisters.
Yeah. So Edward looks like he's in anguish, and Bella looks disgusting with dark circles and skin so tight that her cheekbones might break through the skin.
Which is a description.
It is truly a description. And then Bella pukes, and Rosalie...
It's definitely a visceral description.
It really is.
I'm not knocking it.
No, me neither.
Sheesh.
It.
Yeah, and then she vomits.
It makes her sound like she's literally just like a skeleton. Especially as she stands up to show Jacob what's really going on, and it's described as her stomach is bloated, swollen, deformed. But she folds her hands tenderly around her stomach. I don't know. It's very, chest burster energy.
Yeah. There's also, like, I think, a level of monstrous feminine here as well.
True.
Just, like, and, like, which is usually around, like, either female sexuality or motherhood and, like, making that twisted, making it horrific, making it XYZ. So, like, having her be, like, she's pregnant, which is, like, generally, like, oh, great, pregnancy, new life.
Yeah.
But instead she is being, her entire life force is being sucked out by that very pregnancy so much that her stomach also almost appears to be, like a tumor.
Yeah.
Almost. Like, it's bloated and ballooning and it's everything else is getting leached out of her body as this thing is growing. It's
really
very interesting.
Strong description. If you want someone to be like, ooh, I'm not rooting for this either. You know? Like,
yeah.
It really makes the audience be like, oh, okay, yeah, I don't really want the baby Edward either. This is gross.
Yeah, I'm concerned about baby Edward.
Yeah. And I like the line, too, that Jacob recognizes whatever was inside her was taking her own life to feed its own, and he thinks, I always knew Edward would kill her, you know?
so good. Yeah. That's such a good line.
This is because, a really like, good scene between Jacob and Edward when Edward wants to talk to Jacob outside alone. Mm-hmm. I love it. I genuinely love it.
Yeah. So they... Edward's like, let's go outside. And Jacob's like, all right, we're fighting. And Edward's like, no, I just want to talk to you.
Yeah, and Bella's like, please don't fight. Come back, Jacob. And he's like, whatever. I'm not going to promise anything.
Yeah, and Edward is like the most pathetic man right now, by the way.
He is like the wettest,
crying, moaning.
The wettest Batman that you've ever seen. Like, Robert Pattinson's Batman, but even wetter.
Oh, my God. No, literally. He is... drenched and not in a good way.
No,
like, he is eyeliner all over the place.
Yeah,
opening. Yeah,
yeah. And
he's
even
like
better.
That part where Robert Pattinson's Batman is like shirtless.
Yes, and his
and like
shoulders.
Weird looking.
Yeah,
and it's like except it's worse because like at that point I'm like, maybe I can still be attracted to this because Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
But then now it's just,
Yeah, now I'm like, ooh, you gotta sort yourself out before I can get back into this.
Get in there, right?
The best part, too, is as soon as they, like, get outside and away from the house proper, Edward just, like, sinks to his knees in agony. He's like,
yeah.
It's killing her. It's my fault. I've done this. Like, that's it. Like, he has nothing left to hide about his state of mind except the fact that he's, like, letting it out more, because that was him holding it back in front of Bella to not make it worse for her. And this is just like, fine, Jacob, see everything I feel. You cannot hate me more than I hate myself right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold off on killing me until, like, you know, Bella is not here, because I can't put her through any more pain.
Right. Yeah, he's like, she's gonna die from this, and you can kill me, that's fine.
Another good line that I liked is Jacob looks at Edward and thinks, like, he feels like a child all of a sudden who's never been out of his small town. I would have to live a lot more, suffer a lot more to ever understand the searing agony in Edward's eyes.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I can't even fathom the pain that he's in. And... yeah, Edward sort of tells the story of how he tried to get it out right away. He never foresaw that Bella would want to keep it. And Jacob's like, of course she would. Mm-hmm. It's Bella. Yeah, obviously. Of course she wants to protect her little monster in her belly. Ugh. Classic Bella.
Yeah. And so what Bella did, which
we
saw the beginning of, was she calls Rosalie and she's like, this is happening and I refuse to let them kill it. So... and even though Carlisle has been he's been like, this is probably the good idea. And Edward's like, this is a good idea. Bella and Rosalie are like, nope. Fuck
yeah,
this.
Yeah, because Jacob's like, well, why didn't you just knock her out? She's 110 pounds. And, like, just take it out. But because Rosalie is protecting Bella, Emmett will not let them attack Rosalie. And Esme is also on Bella's side of, you know, it's her choice to do this. So Carlisle won't move against her. So he's just been forced to watch day by day as Bella has, like, essentially become this shell of herself with a parasite, blood-sucking thing inside of her taking her life force away. That's awful. It's really horrific.
Yeah. This is crazy. I did not see this shit coming.
You're like, oh, she has a baby. Crazy. And I'm like, girl.
About that. This baby is going to be wild. I do have a new theory, though.
Okay, let's hear it.
Based on this, is that the baby is going to almost kill her, and the only way to save her is going to be turning her into a vampire. So it won't even matter if she wanted to do it or not, because just like in all the other situations where Carlisle turned people because he didn't have another choice other than death, he's going to turn her because she's going to die having birth to this baby.
All right. We're marking it down.
Put me down for that.
Yep.
Bop.
It's in the books.
If I'm wrong, then erase this from everything.
We'll cut it completely.
Yeah, it's please gone. Cut this from, yeah. We won't cut it until the reveal happens, but then you'll never see this audio again.
Yeah, so it's It genuinely is horrifying for Edward, because obviously he can just do nothing but watch her suffer. Like, she's throwing up. How often does that happen? She's clearly, like, you know, she's sweating. She looks like she has... She's completely, like, emaciated. She needs help just, like, moving. I don't know. It just sounds horrible. And then Edward gives his little speech about Jacob. You have a bond with her I could never understand.
Oh, my God.
If she really wants this, this is the one thing she wants. She just wants babies. I could give her half a dozen more. Will you do this for me? Maybe it'll convince her to get rid of this monster if you give her puppies. And I wish he didn't say puppies.
Why did he say puppies? Yeah. But, yeah, he's like, I will gladly kill my own child and forsake anything or everything with Bella. You can get her pregnant if she really wants kids. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Save her life. And Jacob's like, she's not going to agree to that. Like, I don't care. It doesn't matter what I say. She's not going to go for it. Because, like, Jacob actually does understand what Edward still doesn't. It's not about just having a kid. It's about Edward's kid, which she says in her, like, little thought process in the previous chapter before we got to Jacob's part, is like, I never thought that it would be possible with Edward, but knowing it was Edward's made her immediately love it. So, yeah, Jacob knows what Edward doesn't. He's like, she's never gonna go for this. It's not about having kids. And then I almost feel bittersweet because Jacob, of course, can't help but then picture what that would be like, which he had never gotten to that far in his fantasies of, like, what if she was glowing and beautiful and pregnant and normal and that was my life? And I'm like, oh, but it's never going to be your life. Never was.
Yeah, like, it's really never, ever going to be your life. But, it's cool just fantasy, I guess, bro.
Yeah. And then they agree to a deal that if Jacob not convince Bella to do this, which obviously he won't, like...
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. Bella doesn't want Jacob's kids.
Yeah, Edward's like, I've been thinking through every possibility to save her. This is one of the ones that I thought up. Please, can we just try? Like, he's just so desperate.
He's so desperate.
To try to do anything.
Yeah.
That, like, his least favorite person and, like, his, you know, quote-unquote competition.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll make that a reality if it means that this thing doesn't kill her.
Yeah. I will not pull the rug out from under her. I will follow through. She can go fuck you and have your babies. Ta-da. And he's like, okay.
He's like, all right.
But their real deal is that once Bella's heart stops beating, if she can't be convinced to give up this baby, Edward will be there waiting for Jacob to kill him. Do it.
Yep.
Let's fucking go. I'll want it to be fast anyway.
Yeah, he's like, please kill me. Thank you.
He's like, I really don't want to have to go all the way to Italy again. Like, this would be a lot cheaper and faster.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work to go all the way to Italy again, just
so,
to, you know.
Yeah, they shake on it.
And that's the end of that chapter.
Yeah, so Bella's really pregnant. Like, we went from baby bump to bloated belly.
Bella's really pregnant and really ill about it.
She's she's so ill. She's fucking sick, bro.
She's literally so sick, bro.
Yeah, I know.
This has been some chapters.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing, this is different from, like, there were chapters in, like, New Moon and Eclipse where I was like, man, this is boring as hell. This, I'm like, because I'm like, it's interesting, I want to keep reading.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is all, like, really gross.
Yeah.
Like, we have, like, the hive mind, we have Quill and Claire, we have, like, the monstrous feminine in Bella's pregnancy.
Yeah.
We have, like, it's all just weird.
Yeah.
Weird collection of chapters, but they're interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna... Look, the next part is... We're on a wild ride right now. We're buckling up. We're just going. The ride's already started.
Are we just... We're just starting?
We're just starting.
Oh, Emily. That's so scary to hear. Like, that makes sense, but I... Oh no. I'm so scared.
Yeah. I'm so excited. This is the moment I've been waiting for. I I've been waiting. There's so many
for
things.
For 3 years.
For over 3 years.
I know. We started this in June of 2020.
Yeah. It has literally been 3 years. And the fact that the whole time you're like, oh yeah, this, you know, baby's coming. Oh yeah, I know there's a baby. And I'm like, you don't know.
You don't understand the breadth of this baby.
Yeah, you don't get what's about to happen.
And listeners, I do not get what's about to happen. I still don't. I still have so much fear. And I'm just so excited. This book is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. There's just, if you know, you know. And the things. The horrors.
Yeah. All right, well...
All right.
I'm scared. Well, but that's it for this episode, I guess.
That's it for this. I'm going to read some comments from our last episode.
OMG fun.
Yeah, from Krista Lee said, fried chicken from scratch is unhinged in that situation.
That's what I'm literally saying.
Remember fried chicken in the middle of the night and that was the craziest thing we got? Also, what the fuck is Ed doing while she's sleeping? Go catch her some fish and take some fruit. No reason your girl should need to fry food without AC.
Right! Oh my god. Krista, you're saying what we're all thinking, and you're so brave for that.
Yeah. We have another comment that I'm going to translate because it is not in English.
Slay.
I think it's in Spanish.
It does look like it's in Spanish.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about anything, so there's
translate.
That. I know a lot about four languages and none of them are Spanish, which is like the most useful of them. It's fine.
Detect. Oh, Portuguese.
Oh, Portuguese. Slay.
Loved the episode, but unfortunately for life, unfortunately Rosalie was going to crush pro-choice Edward in a battle royale.
Great episode. Pro-life Rosalie is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. Oh my god. Put that on a t-shirt. Pro-life Rosalie is going to crush pro-choice Edward.
In a battle royale. In a Fortnite-style battle royale.
Oh, excellent. I love it here.
We love you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for that and making us laugh with your comments. That was from Liz Mata.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for commenting. I really do appreciate it. Okay.
So yeah, that was it from today. We have some new patrons.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Miranda and Pola, for joining our coven. Welcome to the vampire coven. We're biting you.
Is Sierra new, or was that last time?
That was last time.
Okay. Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure that was, like, right after we recorded.
Yes, you're right. Thank you, Sierra, as well. I'm so sorry. I accidentally left you out.
Yeah, Sierra, I'm in your corner. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight.
Losing your religion?
I'm sometimes doing that, I would say.
I mean, if anything's going to make you lose your religion, it's this podcast.
Yeah. I'm glad we had the same thought here.
I know. I never have an original thought ever in my life.
Nope.
Well, that's
so
fine.
Yeah. Who did they join?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like literally like, all right, we're done.
Yeah, you're thinking about Baldur's Gate already. I get it.
Yeah, I am. Shut up. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon. You join the ranks of our master vampires, Dory, Steven, Emily, Thea, and Dan. You too should subscribe and join and support our podcast so Cam can play Baldur's Gate 3.
I forgot. That was our bit today. Yeah. Let me in.
Yeah. Let her in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She wants to fuck that bear.
Why would you say that? Why the bear of all things?
Because you're a furry.
Okay. Fair point. I take it back. Let me fuck the bear, guys. Subscribe to our Patreon.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Unbitten. If you want to get in contact with us,
follow us on Twitter at UnbittenPod or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/UnbittenPod. And for now, the rest is still Unbitten.
Yeah, it is!
Guitar riff!